Let's go to Hebrews 6:13, and maybe we'll go this way. We'll obey the Lord. Just give me 5 more minutes and that anointing. Did you find Hebrews? Okay, look at verse 13. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless you, multiplying I will multiply you. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Abraham did. Okay. For men indeed swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation. Don't leave where we are. Just because we're in the Word, don't leave where we are in the Spirit. Yeah. Keep your place in the Spirit. Okay. All right. For men indeed swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is for them an end of all dispute. Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it's impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul. Now you know how we got our mothership name. We started out being called Anchor Ministries because of this verse here. In 1991. Both sure and steadfast, which enters the presence behind the veil, wherefore the forerunner has entered in, even Jesus, having become the high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. There is one greater. There's no one greater, help me Jesus, than the God of the universe. There's no one greater. He is it. And he made a promise to Abraham, and in fact, he made a covenant with Abraham. You know something about that, and the covenant is full of promises. The blessing is part of that covenant. Amen. The blessing is not what the prayer you say over dinner. The blessing is an anointing on your life. And then it says multiplying was a part of that. So what we could say is that increase is a promise. And it's a covenant promise. And it said that he swore by the greatest one that he could swear by, which is himself. So covenant has a lot to do with promise and swearing. And I don't mean cussing. I mean swearing. I swear. Okay. A covenant has everything to do with that. So you make an oath that you will not break. Now, God made an oath unto death. He will not break his promise. We came into covenant with him, with Abraham, but men break covenants. God doesn't. So God gave us Jesus as our covenant representative. He has already died and paid the price, the death, and so now we're okay. So now there's a covenant between God and Jesus, and neither one of them can fail. Okay, so this is where we are. God doesn't fail. Now, the Word says in Psalm 89:34, my covenant I will not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. So God's not going to change, and he's not going to break this covenant that he made with you. Christ has redeemed you from the curse of the law, right? Everything that hangs on the tree is the curse, so that the blessing of Abraham might come on you. So the blessing came on you because of what Christ did. Amen. And God has made this covenant with you. If you go and read the Galatians chapters there, you find out that you're the seed of Abraham. Amen. So he's going to keep whatever. Now here's the thing. He's going to keep what you'll commit to him. I know whom I have believed. I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I believe that's why the Holy Spirit wanted to get rid of you being driven and being led. Because God's trying to keep you and get you what you need. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So we need to always keep it in our thinking that God swore and he can't lie. Two immutable things. God can't lie. And it's not just because he's morally good. It's because whatever he says comes to pass. If he says, let this be Monday, we're going to roll over into Monday. Because whatever he says will be. And so we can totally have hope in that and believe in that. Now, over in 1 Samuel 17:26, I'll read you a couple of scriptures. This is David, who knew covenant. I'm talking about us having covenant consciousness, okay? Now, David spake to the men and stood by him, saying, was talking about Goliath, says, what shall be done to the man that kills the Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And I think he said it with sass. Amen. Then in verse 36, he says, thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be one of them, seeing as he's defied the armies of the living God. So what he's saying is, he killed the lion and the bear, and this is no different than an animal. This guy does not have a covenant. I'm the one with the covenant. I'm gonna win. And that's what he's telling us right here. The ones with the covenants are the covenant win. Now, so David went into battle. He knew who he was, and he knew that he had a covenant. Covenant didn't look at size. Covenant didn't look at age. It holds for whoever has it. You have that covenant, it's going to hold like an anchor. Okay? Now, so David knew the biggest one in the universe. He knew he was on his side. Now go over to the New Testament and look at Luke 13:10. Go over there with me on this one. Luke 13:10. Praise the Lord. That's right after Mark. Just kidding. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hi, Debbie Clark. How you doing out there? Donna, everybody else that's listening, we love you guys. By the way, did I hear thunder? In the name of Jesus, I declare, I put up our shield right now. There will be no hail here. There will be no wind damage here. There will be no roof damage here. No limbs down in the name of Jesus. Amen. This reminds me when Hector first came to church. We were over in the little building and all of a sudden, the hail started falling. I said, excuse me. I walked to the back door and I said, get back. And I spoke to the thing. And Hector left that night and he said, Patty, Pastor spoke to the hail and it quit. Now he speaks to the hail and it quits. So much fun. People used to make fun of us for speaking to the weather, but I think we're in good company because Jesus did. Amen. So Luke 13:10, and he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, woman, thou art loose from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified. And the ruler of the synagogue answered and said with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, there are 6 days in the week which men ought to work, and them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, you hypocrite! Doth not each of you on the Sabbath loose his ox from his ass or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, get the clue, a covenant woman. This is a covenant woman. Ought not this covenant woman be healed today? She had a covenant in Jesus and be loosed on the Sabbath day. So age doesn't matter. Size doesn't matter. Evidently gender doesn't matter. And most of all, no matter how long a person has been bound, they can go free. Doesn't matter how long it's happened. Doesn't matter what you accidentally coped with or put up with or you never could get free before. You can get free right now. In this very second, that thing could leave your body. The spirit of lack could leave you. The spirit of poverty could leave you. Spirit of infirmity could lead you. Whatever is going on, you can be free from it right now. It doesn't matter. Well, you know, I've been this way for a long time. It doesn't matter how long you've been that way. This says the covenant woman could be healed today. Amen. Praise the Lord. So the ruler of the synagogue, he's more interested in his rules. Jesus was more interested in the covenant. Amen. Think about that, 18 years, though. 18 years. People get stuck in a situation for 18 years. But if they get covenant conscious, just think, when Jesus just said those words, hey, may I remind you that you have a covenant? You ought to be healed. You have a covenant. You could, devil, I've got a covenant. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, people that have had something for 18 years, it'd be real easy to blame the church they went to. Well, you know, they go over there to the Babdicostalholics. Just came out that way. Whatever that is. I'm just making up stuff. I am a Baptist, okay? So don't think I'm making fun of anybody. I'm just making up names here. For fun. Okay. I'm probably still on the row at Westover Baptist Church in San Marcos. Probably still on the row. That's okay. Haven't been there in many years. I got the left foot of fellowship for speaking in tongues. So anyway, praise the Lord. Now, I'm kidding. Praise the Lord. I'm really not kidding. But okay. Now, be real easy to blame, but you know, there are people who are sitting in churches just like ours that have infirmity for years. There are people who will stay in lack for years because they won't use their faith. And it's due to too much mental assent where instead of using their faith and experiment, using it like a tool, you use it like a tool. And when you use it like a tool, you'll get results. But because they don't play it out and actually use it, then they say, well, you know, faith doesn't work. Excuse me. Too late to tell me. Too many things. Yeah. So we don't want to blame churches. We don't want to blame people. We just want to go ahead and get our healing. We just want to go ahead and have people get miracles. We just want to see people delivered from poverty. We just want to see people go free. We just want to see people get saved. That's what matters in Jesus' name. I thank you for that, Lord. So they can just go free. God's provided it for it. So no height. No size limit, no age limit, no gender limit, no limit due to how long you were bound, and no day of the week limit. All the limits are leaving. Praise the Lord. Life without limits. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Now go to Matthew 17:24. You're going to really like this one. This is where it gets fun. We're going over there and be taxpayers now. Sorta. When they had come to Capernaum, those who received the temple tax came to Peter and said, does your teacher not pay the temple tax? He said, yes. And when he had come into, I guess I better face the audience. I forget I'm on TV. Okay. Go on here. Yes. And when he had come into the house, Jesus anticipated him saying, what do you think, Simon? From who do the kings of the earth take customs or taxes? From their sons or from strangers? Peter said, from strangers. Jesus said, then the sons are free. Nevertheless, lest we offend them, go to the sea, cast in a hook, take the fish that comes up first, and when you have opened its mouth, you will find a piece of money. Take it and give it to them for me and you. Okay? So, now, the sons are free. The children of the king are free. Jesus said the children of the kingdom are free. I know it's getting redundant. I want to prove a point. Kings don't make their kids pay. They pay for them. This is not a word telling you you shouldn't pay your taxes. Jesus said to do it. But listen, this is how we need to put this. We're free from paying. We are not free from the payment.
That's right. Yeah.
Come on. We're free from pain. Yes, we are. We're free from pain. But we're not free from the payment. But you don't have to come up with it.
That's right.
No. You don't. Your Father provides. Your Father will provide. He provided right then. The kingdom provided. Hey, last time I checked, Bo wasn't paying taxes. But Larry and Jesse were. Just nod yes, just in case you weren't, but no, I'm kidding. Bo didn't have to. Larry took care of the whole household. Daddy does that. He's a what? Dependent. Check this box. He's a dependent. You're a dependent. He supply. You're demanding. I don't mean being fussy and proud demanding. I mean, you're the one who receives.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. That's what God did with Adam and Eve, supply and demand. Now, y'all get in here. Here's the garden. Here's your part. Dress it and keep it. I want you to take care of it. You do what you need to do. How'd they dress and keep it? They weren't out there with hoes and shovels. They were talking.
Yeah.
They're speaking spirits. They named the animals. They spoke it. They kept the garden. Anyway, that was free. So now, you all know this, but let's just say it one more time. Proverbs 10:22. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. And we say toil. He does not add any toil to you being blessed. Now, toil is drudgery and labor and grind. So that's not talking about work. You go to your job. This is not talking about laying on the couch and eating bonbons. This is talking about going to work, but you don't do it stressed. And you're not crunching numbers and worrying and trying to figure things out with the latent power of your soul. You are just doing your assignment, which, by the way, you shouldn't be working to earn money. You should be doing your assignment. You should be given to make your living. That's a higher life. You give to make your living. You do your assignment, what God called you to do. So if you're doing a job you don't like, you need to find your assignment. And then, will you get a paycheck from your assignment? Yes. But you have to think on a higher level. God is going to take care of you. Amen. Praise the Lord. So that would be how we would flow through that. So, but the blessing doesn't have any toil to it. So, and by the way, let me add this. If you're complaining, that's toil as well. Okay. Ungratefulness is toil. Yeah. So God created us, and then he intends to take care of us. So did you notice what the Lord said? I thought that was interesting. When you stop, I'll start. Mm-hmm. When you stop, I'll start. And that's what he does with mankind, because you have your own will. Right. You want to do it yourself? You want to plot it yourself? Yeah. Go ahead. But if you want me to lead you, stop it and let me lead you. You can do that with your phone, with your GPS. Yeah, no, that's wrong. I'm not going that way. I mean, they're trying to lead you every once in a while. Siri is wrong, but for the most part, they'll lead you to where you need to go. But you can fight with Siri all the time. Toby says I'm mean to Siri, but anyway, I don't think I am. Praise the Lord. Anyway, you get what I'm telling you. Follow God. You rest. It's a Sabbath rest. You get in this Sabbath rest. The Sabbath rest, by the way, the blessing is on the Sabbath. Yes. Genesis said the blessing's on the Sabbath. The blessing is on the rest. It's not on the toil. It's on the rest. And so all children are called into a rest. And you're so, you do your job. You do your assignment. We could say you work hard. That would be okay, as long as you're not toiling. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. So, we do our part, which would be mostly to believe and speak. Faith works by believing it in your heart and speaking it out your mouth.
Yes.
That's the way it's always going to work. Always. That's how you got saved. Amen. And so that's the way it will always be. So God created us. He intends to take care of us, as I said. So So what is our part then? Let's finish this up with this. What is our part? What do we do? Just some basics, real basic that you know. Believe and speak. Walk by grace that he's offering you. The grace that he's offering you. Walk in grace. Don't get all legal or fight to earn something. Just take the grace God gives you, and he'll give you the grace to do whatever it is you're called to do. You'll have the grace. If you're a leader, if you're a boss, if you own a business, you'll have the grace to do it. Yes. Amen. People say, how could you be a pastor? Grace.
Yes. That's right.
And lots of it. But it works. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Now, you return the tithe to him. You give the 10. He gives you the 90. You give. I already covered this. Make a living by your giving. Now, that requires some wisdom. To be a giver requires wisdom, because you have to watch out that you discern good ground.
Yes.
And that you discern when the Spirit calls you to give. And so, you know, a lot of people don't think preachers will say this, but I'll sure say it to you. You don't want to sow your bread. You only want to sow your seed. Get a little protection going there. Get smart. Don't be emotionally moved, but be spiritually moved in your giving. Amen. So now, Lone Ranger Ministries are not good ground. Three people agree with me. I'm going to try it over here. Lone Ranger Ministries are not good ground. People are supposed to be apostolically sent somewhere. They're supposed to be planted there, and they're supposed to work from there. That's the Bible design there, and they're supposed to be accountable to someone. You can't lead people if you can't be led. You don't have the right to do that. Just jump out there and start doing something and say, hey, y'all follow me. Well, who are you following? You need someone to be accountable to. And we're in a good house today with that. Praise the Lord. Because we all are accountable. So, this is what I really want to get to as we're coming down the home stretch here. We must be covenant conscious.
Yeah.
Just like we're righteous conscious. We need to be covenant conscious. He said he would do it. He's on my side. You said you would, Lord, and I'm not backing down. You said you would. That's the kind of attitude you need to have. And you know, folks have said, well, you know, it says that he'll never fail you, he'll never leave you or forsake you, but he sure failed me. No. There's three ways the storms of life come. You make a bad decision, somebody around you makes a bad decision, and you live in a dark world. It's never going to be God. Do not err, beloved brethren. God is a good God. He gives only good gifts. He's good and perfect. Amen. So don't blame him. Y'all know how I feel about that. He didn't do it. Now, it's going to be fun right here. Many times we do not arise. We don't get ourselves to the right place. The spirit realm, if I could say it to you like this, is the causal realm. It's where things happen. Things are made to happen. And so a lot of times we're trying to work from the soulish realm. And we're trying to work from mental ascent. Because mental ascent will try to tell you you're in faith. Y'all know that. I'm going to leave that alone right there. But you faith from that realm. You believe from that realm. So what does it mean to arise? What would it mean to unfold? I mean, how would that unfold? It means that you remove yourself from the petty constraints of this material world. In other words, you believe that supernatural could happen on your natural. It means that you're not going to judge just by the five senses. It means you could actually believe that somehow God will prosper you. Somehow God will find your house. Somehow God will heal you. Somehow God will show up. God will deliver you. Somehow you'll make it through. It's you when you believe that super will come on natural. That's when you're getting yourself to another level. There's got to be a way. There's a way. I'm telling you, I've watched people tell me, no, we're not doing that for you. Walk out and come back in and say, yes, I am going to do that for you. Because God moved.
Yeah. That's true.
Arise, shine, for your light has come. The moon cannot shine until the sun disappears. You didn't see the super, well, the clouds kind of had it, but you wouldn't have seen the supermoon before the sun went down. It's just a little white thing. But when the sun goes down, you can see the whole thing.
Right.
So just take that and use it as a template. When you're just looking at all the stuff in the flesh and like, so, some of y'all looking for help. Where's my house? Where's my house? You can't look like that. You got to look in here. You got to look and go, okay, Lord, boom, it's going to happen. You're going to see it. Where's my job? Where's my, it's in here. It's in here. You have to see it. So you have to rise up into the realm to find out what the next step is, to find out how you're going to go. You arise. And of course, you know, I'm preaching Isaiah 60. Arise, shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Now, I want to show you a couple things. Get this. I really, really want you to see this. This is not so much a command, like, you need to shine. Okay? It's not so much a command to impart light to others. Not this. Not this right here. Yes, we're salt and light, but not this. It's more of this, that you are surrounded with light and glory. You're encompassed with light and glory, and you participate in that. You get in. This is more prophetic. It's a call rather to participate in the light that was shining more than it was to participate with shine your light on others. Can you follow me with that? Now you need to shine your light. No. Come on up in here and let the light shine on you. Let the light shine on you. That's what we did at the beginning of the service. Let the light shine on you. Let the get in it. Get in. Arise. First and foremost, get yourself to another level. Get yourself out of all just the flesh thinking. Get yourself out of the calculating. Get your flesh out of how you're ever going to get that done. Get your flesh however, and just start thinking God can do it. And start moving into that realm and start enjoying the light. Shine, be bright. That is, be surrounded and resplendent with light. The idea probably is this. Rise now from the state of obscurity and darkness. Enter into the light. Enter into the times of prosperity. So the light was already provided.
Yes.
It's not you trying to go, where's the switch? I just did that in the world, for the world to see. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Listen. Oh, Jesus, for fun. Thank you, Lord. Stop trying to work it. And just get in it. It's already shining. The light's shining. It's already bright. See, they're bowling in heaven answering us right now. Glory to God. Rolling strikes. I'm telling you. Arise, shine, for the light has come. Arise, shine, for the light has come. And the glory of the Lord has risen. The heavy, weighty presence of God has risen on you. Shine in that. Now, let me tell you something, because, you know, there's the hard witness. You need to get out there. You need a witness. Let your light shine. You're the salt of the earth. You better do it. Count everybody you want. But, okay. Or you could shine and overflow so much that people want to know what you've got. And you begin to minister to people. Deb whistles down every aisle of HEB. You can always find her.
Oh, yeah.
But people say, what are you so happy about? And she's got great stories. I'm in love with this Jewish man. Whatever she said, she just says, it's Jesus. Do you know him? But she's shining. You're shining. You've got, you're excited. You're blessed. You let the light shine on you and it gets off on you and you become the salt. You are the salt and the light. You're not trying to work it up. Knock on the door. Oh no, the church told us we need to go knock on doors. Oh, nobody's here. They weren't there. I gotta run. No, you're just like, hey, how are you doing? The Lord just wanted me to tell you, da, 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 da. Praise the Lord. Hey, can I pray for you? Anyone that's got a cast on or anything, they'll always say yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, pray for me. Praise the Lord. Y'all getting anything out of this? Lord, help me to finish. Okay, so then this is what happens here. This is where you're headed. This is verse 4. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be nursed at your side. So here they come. Then you shall see. You shall see. You arise. Now you're going to see and become radiant, and your heart will swell with joy because of the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. And then if you read down through here, you're finding out that people and prosperity are headed toward you. Yes. Now, I've got one more picture for you to get here so you get what I'm saying. You've risen. You've come up to the other realm. You've come up to the realm of every possibility. You're in that realm of every possibility. You let His light shine on you. You don't try to work it. You just enjoy the light. You become the reflection. But you're rising up to the place where you can see. That's what it said. So if you could see something good coming, you wouldn't send it away. If you could see it coming, ladies and gentlemen, that's faith. If you see it, you can have it. And if you've got it, you're not going to turn it away with your mouth. Hey, Amazon, that's got my name on it. Take that back. I'm looking way out there because they drop it way out at our gate. No, no, no. It's yours. Amanda's going to jump in the wagon and go up there and get it for us. She always does. Let me go get it. She drives the little cart up there. Go grab the package. But you're not going to send it. If you can see it, you won't send it back. Amen. Arise, shine. The light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon. Can you see it? Can you see America changing? Because if you see America changing, you won't turn it away. You won't say, well, it's never going to be. You'll say, yes, I see America. I see America changing. I see the great awakening. I see life changing. I see my world getting better. I see my greatness returning to me. You are great. And your greatness has returned. Well, we don't want to talk about people like that. I sure do. Because that person will give all the glory to God. Did y'all get that? People and treasure are on their way to you. Divine appointments are on their way to you. You're either going to help them or they're going to help you. Amen. You are somebody's answer to a problem. You are someone's answer. That's what everything is made of, is that we are an answer to somebody else's situation or they're going to be answer to ours. These lovely people sitting right here are an answer to our prayers. Chick-fil-A has come to our world. And I'm not kidding. But hey, this is a blessing for this area. You know it is. You can't eat a Dairy Queen every day. Anyway. I was just about to say that because I know some people who do. I'm trying to stay away right now. So I do love y'all, but I'm on diet. So, okay. I think about you every day. That's some good food, I tell you. Isn't God good? If you see it, you can have it. And you won't turn it away if you know you have it. You won't turn it away if you know you have it. So arise, shine. But I don't know how. I don't know how. Yes, you do know how. Yes, you do know how. You turn it away with words and doubt. You start talking about my arthritis or my this or my that. It's not yours. Well, I'm broke and I don't know how I'll ever get ahead. Then you won't. My God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. There's 2,000 scriptures about prosperity and money. There's only 200 about prayer. Now, I tell you, prayer is the most powerful. It's way more powerful than money. But I'm just telling you to sit around and hate the prosperity message. You're on the wrong page. We have to win this world. Right. Takes finances.
It does.
Thank you, Jesus. I'm gonna stop it. Thank you, Jesus. No, I don't want to stop yet. I got to tell you one more thing. I'm almost done. When you get to these places, church, where you're doing this, you and everybody you love, you're going to get God's style of deliverance. And I can tell you what God's style of deliverance is. It's Psalm 105:42. He remembered his holy promise and Abraham his servant, and he brought forth his people with joy. Yeah. His chosen with gladness. He gave them the lands of the Gentiles, and they inherited the labor of the nations. God will bring you forth with joy. You'll be shouting for joy, not going, "Whew, I'm glad we made it, Lord. That was another one. We almost didn't make it, Lord." But you'll be going, "No, no, no, no. This is God, and God always does it the very best way." As Ray Jean says, God don't never change.
That's right.
Let's stand up so I'll quit. Praise the Lord. Offering. Sit back down, everyone. Now, hey, let me tell you this right here. He remembered his holy promise. What's the word remember about? Covenant.
That's right.
He remembered his holy promise and he brought forth the people with joy. So he went, "I'm bringing them out of bondage because I'm in covenant with them. I will bring you out of bondage. I am in covenant with you. I'm going to bring you out of bondage." That's what that word means. You have to be covenant conscious. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. All right. Glory to God.